the Chris and Sam Podcast. Pull up a bar stool and join us for a random conversation, guaranteed to make you think or your money back.
Hello and welcome to episode 475 of the Chris and Sam Podcast.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Sam. Welcome along to your weekly fix of randomness, technology, and life, brought to you from New Zealand.
Yes. And today's randomness will be really random because we didn't really plan this one.
I tell you what. Okay, I've got something to start off with. What is in common with the Tim Ferriss podcast, The Dollop, The Criminal Podcast, some other podcast I can't remember, and this very podcast we're on right now? What is common amongst all of them?
The podcast hosting platform?
No, think better.
Think better. I can't think of anything, no.
We are all turning 10 years old this year.
Oh, wow. Holy shit.
And at the time we were doing this, I didn't think any of these other podcasts had not been going that long. So I'm surprised. I thought like Tim Ferriss had been going way longer. Like our podcast is very random and weird, and we've talked about this because we're not super niche about one topic. It's very hard to get that huge fan base, which is fine. But man, we were ahead of the curve, eh?
I got messaged by somebody in LinkedIn this morning. So I've been up for a few hours doing a few workshop things on LinkedIn this morning, on Zoom this morning. But I was checking my emails and I got a thing from LinkedIn, and it's a guy from Matchmaker FM.
Okay.
And Matchmaker FM connects podcast guests with their podcast.
Yes.
And the guy goes, "Hey, we're Matchmaker FM, and we want to move into the New Zealand area." And I'm like, "Dude, I've been following Matchmaker FM for at least 5 years now, because it was before COVID, I think. And I've already had guest spots based from your thing. You just don't know about me." And I said, "Our podcast has been going for 10 years. It's just not a
interview one.
It's not a commercial podcast, basically."
So Tim Ferriss has basically, because his 10th anniversary is coming up, we're all obviously thinking about what we're going to do to celebrate this momentous occasion. And as you know, we've put in about 3 minutes worth of thinking on our, 500th episode / 10 year, which are all around the same time. But Tim Ferriss is like, "Let me know where I should go anywhere in the world. All I need is a bar that can hold like a couple of hundred people." Good and on. He's got a form, I think, on his blog or something. And he's like, "Yeah, okay." I goes, because he doesn't usually like going out too much, but he's like, "This is special. Let's do it." I'm not sure what the other podcasts are up to. I think they're just sort of touring around.
Wow. Cool.
But 10 years.
What was that list of podcasts again? Oh, The Dollop.
Yeah, The Dollop. I
thought they'd been going longer than us as well. Okay.
I think we started like 6 months after Tim Ferriss and a couple of months after The Dollop.
Yeah. Yeah, because I had been following Tim Ferriss with The Random Show. He had The Random Show on YouTube for a while before he started the podcast.
Yes, he's re-releasing those.
Yeah, I'd been following that for ages. I loved that. I just really loved it. I was still at Telecom back then, so that was how long ago that was.
Ancient.
Yes. He was the guy. Tim Ferriss was the guy that introduced me to Twitter, because I saw him giving a talk.
Oh, right.
And he goes, "How many of you people here are tweeting right now?" And I'm like, "What the hell is he talking about?" I had to Google it and figure out what it was. Yeah.
Yes. Hashtags was the thing that confused the hell out of me in the beginning.
Yeah.
I just couldn't get my head around hashtags, because they'd be talking about hashtags and I'd be like, "What are you on about? What does it mean? What does it link to?" Because they'd be like, "You just mention it." And I'm like, "But what's it linking to?"
I just
remember that. And then I was like, after a while, I saw it and I was like, "Oh, you're just like tagging random things."
Yeah. Yeah, okay. No, it's interesting. It's been a journey, all right. Speaking of a journey, this is the worst segue ever. But this headline stood out to me today.
Yeah.
And it's from the Irish Star. So I don't know how credible a newspaper that is, but the headline still stood out. Robbie Williams, you know, the musician,
Yes.
Robbie Williams says aliens are targeting him because of his fame to be a messenger. Robbie Williams has claimed that aliens are targeting him because they want him to be a messenger for them on Earth, and he's seen UFOs on multiple occasions. He's claimed aliens are choosing him because of his fame. He's a 50-year-old rock star, so he's younger than me. God damn it. He described how, while penning down a song in Arizona about alien contact, a gold ball of light appeared in the studio as the music played. I personally think that's probably just the drugs, but, you know.
He's involved in something recently, but I can't remember what. He might have been a judge on a show or something. I can't remember. Hey, I've just quickly Googled this. So they're talking about this now. Like, a couple of days ago, they're talking about this. In 2019, the New Zealand Herald has a story saying that he installed 24-hour security due to the fear that aliens might contact him. So this has been going on for a while now. You imagine being 24-hour security for just that. Not even crazy fans, not stalkers, none of that, just the aliens.
I'm so famous, I'm being stalked by people from another planet, bro.
So you're just like, what have you got to help protect me from the aliens? And you'd be like, well, I've got this special tinfoil hat, this probing stick. Like, you could just make stuff up and go, this is what you need. Don't forget about guns. Guns are useless for aliens. I've got this roll of tinfoil. He also added in this thing, he may have a mental illness, but he admitted he was only saying that to appease any skeptics. Like, he fully believes this.
I don't know. I don't know. It sounds crazy to me, but fair enough. Okay. I guess we all have our peccadillos. Actually, this is another one I thought initially was a little crazy or a little why. And the headline, and this is BBC, so this is a little bit more of a more mainstream outlet. But the White House wants the moon to have its own time zone. And I'm like, well, would they have one time zone? Because, you know, there's multiple sides of the moon, like just the same as the way the Earth has. So, but what is actually interesting is because of the different gravitational field strength on the moon, time moves quicker on the moon than it does on Earth. So,
excellent point.
Yeah,
you froze for a minute and a half for me, so I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm going to say Zoom recorded it, so that's good. So time goes faster on the moon. So when we live on the moon, we'll be out of sync.
So the White House has suggested that the moon has its own time zone, and I was
that makes sense. It should do.
Why would it? Like, but I'd think it'd have multiple time zones. I just didn't see the point. But then, but then I found out that the gravitational field strength is lower, so the time moves quicker, 58.7 microseconds a day. So, you know.
It adds up. That's the gist of it.
I guess it adds up.
They'll either have to do a correction.
They would have their own clock or their own time thing there, which it's not exactly a time zone, though. I wouldn't call that a time zone because it's not using the same clock.
Mm.
But it's fascinating because I never would have thought of that.
I know. We'll have to worry about that when we're all living on the moon.
Well, we will when granddad's on the moon or whoever ends up going over the moon. I guess it's being granddad's will be on the moon because it's less gravitational pull, so it's easier to get around, around.
You reckon that's it? They'll send all the old people there first?
Yeah.
No.
Once they've built it out.
Oh, okay. So it'd probably be, to be honest, it'd just be like a big retirement village and all the whole family's there just watching this rocket go off or whatever, spaceship with all these old people. And see you later.
Yeah.
It's the new Florida.
Yeah, well, they'll probably make it tax-free on the moon or something, get people to move out there and all the old people with money bugger off over there.
That's right. They'll love it. Hey, Doc has spent almost $500,000 to kill one stoat.
Oh, my God. Well, but was that the last one?
It's the only one. So there's an island called, they identified a stoat in 2022 on Chalky Island in Fjordland.
Yeah.
And it had been predator free since 1999. So they went after it because they're using that island to breed like kakapo chicks are on there, te kakahu skinks, and little spotted kiwi chicks. So yeah. They were like, you know, it's a pretty special place that's been predator free. They spent it on incident management team costs. So it was probably most of it. Staff time, conservation dog handlers, helicopters, and boat expenses. They then spent another $210,000 to make sure it was pest-free by installing a surveillance system and doing a bunch of biosecurity planning. Because I guess, I don't know if it swam over there or it caught a ride on something. But, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if stoats can swim. I guess they probably can.
I think they can.
Most vermin. Are they vermin? I think they're vermin. Most rats and all that sort of thing can swim. So,
oh, I've got a story about a rat or a weird animal I saw last night. I wish I videoed it, but I didn't because I didn't know what was going on. So I got home from work last night at like 10 o'clock. I get out of the car and this weird thing comes along the footpath beside me and it goes up the neighbor's driveway. And I'm like, what is that? It's so weird. And initially I thought it's a hedgehog.
That's what I was just thinking, yeah.
It's the wrong shape.
Right.
And I was like, oh. And then I look around, there's this cat just sitting on the road. Like, I think it was following this thing. So I turned on my light on my phone and I went up the neighbor's driveway to try and find this thing. And it was sort of in the shadows and it sort of stepped out and it was sort of like, this long, that wide. It looked like a rat with no tail. And all its fur was all scuffy, and it was so weird looking. And then it just scurried off, and I think it went up their stairs. Definitely
possum. Oh no, no tail.
No, it was the tail that threw me because I was
yeah, for sure.
I don't know if it's missing a tail or what it was, but it was definitely, and it wasn't sprinting like it was just scurrying along like a rat. But it was a bit slow. Like I don't know if this cat had been beating the crap out of it. Anyway. It was one of those moments I wish I had.
Here's a question for you.
Filmed it.
Did the cat have two tails?
No.
Like it ripped one off. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what happened there. You just never know what's going to happen. Actually, talking about that, I almost knocked myself out on the weekend. Everybody thought I'd hit my head, but I didn't. But I had an epic fall off a small child's rolling toy thing that I went down a skate ramp off. Seemed like a good idea at the time. And
so you decided to use a skate ramp on purpose with some child's rolly thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
My daughter has this thing that I got her when she was like 3 or 4, this little cart thing. She's 16 now, but anyway, she still got it. And when we go to my mum and dad's, if all the cousins are there, they always want to go to this park. There's a little skate park. It's like little, like it's not huge. And anyway, they roll around on these things, and I rolled down this little hill on it, and it was good. And then I was like, oh, I'm going to go down this bigger one. And when I say bigger, it's only, if I'm standing next to it, it's like chest height. So I went from there, and it's quite steep.
4 or 5 feet,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. And Sarah goes, I don't think you should do that. And I was like, no, I'm good. And anyway, I rolled down, and then, yeah, it just started wobbling.
So you're standing on this thing?
No, I'm sitting on it.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it started wobbling, and then I just bailed off. And I don't know about you, but I've taken a few falls in my time, and every time I do, it always goes slow motion for me. Yeah. So I know
100%,
you know, what I'm doing, and I'm pretty good at falling. I think like I've never really hurt myself.
I'm usually pretty good. Yeah,
I've tumbled down big forest hills. Like I've tumbled for a long time down hills and been okay. But I went down, and my glasses came off. My head moved so violently, but I hit my head on my shoulder. On my arm.
Oh, yeah.
And I got that graze there and one on my side. And anyway, but everyone came running over and like, your head. And I'm like, what? No, I'm good. No, you hit your head. I was like, no, I didn't. Are you sure? You might not know you hit your head. I was like, no, like my head's fine. Like, you'd know if I hit my head. And my daughter's like, yeah, he'd be swearing all the time. Like, thanks. Anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, there's nothing like a good fall. I remember two specific falls very, very well. One was I see stairs outside my place, and my feet just went, shot up in the air, and I went down flat on my back across the stairs. So the one of the stairs went straight across my back, and then sort of slowly bounced down the rest of the stairs, which was really bad. They were concrete stairs at an old place I used to live at. And then one of the most amusing ones is at a toga party that I went to for the Surf Lifesaving Club in Whangamata with Jeff and a few of the boys, and they're all young. I must be 40 then, probably-ish, give or take.
Oh, so you're the older one?
I'm definitely the oldest one, and most of the people there getting drunk are teenagers, and they're doing bear slides.
Okay.
Naked bear slides, I think. And so I'm like, you know, just, 100 people in this bloody thing drinking away, and I'm holding this Heineken, and I stepped forward, and my foot hit this bear all over the floor, and it just shot up in the air. And I could see both my feet like in the air and going,
oh, wow.
Oh, this is not going to be good. And then slammed down, but I managed to keep my beer upright so I didn't spill any. And the only thing that one woman's guy is like, he's got undies on under his toga. He's got undies on.
So oh, no. Gave
me shit about that.
Yeah, good.
That was it. But yeah. But I still remember that like it was in slow motion, the whole feet going up and going, oh, shit, this isn't going to be good. Make sure you don't spill the beer. And, I landed fine.
The only other one I remember, it wasn't really a fall, but it was a bank collapsing that I was going up. I used to measure pine trees as a job. And we worked in the middle of nowhere. There's only ever two of us. And I had this plastic... I had all this gear attached to me, but I had this tape measure, which was sort of like a round plastic strip of plastic that was all marked, but it was quite tough. But I had that trailing behind me. It was like 20 meters long. I always had this behind me. And the dude I worked with, sometimes you'd blink and somehow he'd be somewhere else. It was after a while, I was like, this is really weird. I've never seen you move fast, but you're over there. Okay. And he got to the top of this bank thing and he goes, yeah, it's all good. Just climb up this bank thing. I was like, oh, okay. And then I think the tape was wrapped around a tree at one point. So I sort of was like, oh, yeah. And then the whole thing came down with little trees as all everything.
Like an avalanche type thing.
Yeah, got up past my knees. But I sort of started running down the hill with it. And,
Yeah.
It was real weird. I was lucky nothing else happened bad because, we're miles away from anywhere.
Yeah. Well, when you get as old as us, you know that luck has had a part in it.
Totally. Yeah.
This is a really weird headline that I saw, another BBC headline, and I'm like, what is going on? So this is the headline. Ringleader of global monkey torture network, the Torture King,
yes,
charged. Have you heard of that?
I've heard about the monkey torture thing because I think David Farrier spoke about it a couple of months ago.
Oh, right.
And there's a lot of – it's not even full-on torture. I mean, that guy is doing that. But there's a lot of viral videos out there that if you keep seeing the same thing over and over again, it's being manufactured by somebody somewhere. And one of these things was to do with – animals, I think it was the monkeys, and then I think some people were doing some things with dogs, and it was sort of like they were in distress, and I think it might have stopped before it got too bad on normal social media networks, but I think in other areas of the internet probably they were doing worse things. But yeah, this guy was like full on, eh?
Yeah, so he ran several chat groups for monkey torture enthusiasts around the world.
Yeah,
I just can't see that. So when I was young and Blockbuster was a thing, I remember getting out a couple of movies, which I don't know how they were legal in New Zealand. And I got them out a couple of times when I was like 12 or 11, 12, because, you know, it's like, this is interesting. This is different. They're effectively snuff movies. It was Faces of Death and Faces of Death 2. And it's just a whole series of clips of people dying. But they warm you up, and they warm you up with some animals dying. And one of them at the beginning was them killing these monkeys in a restaurant. So basically the restaurant, you go to this restaurant, and these are like, this is in the 70s, these people are smoking and all the rest of it. And they're sitting in this restaurant, and the guy brings a monkey and chucks it in, and there's a yolk. So the monkey's in the table, and all that's sticking out of the table is its head, and it's spinning around, and they all get out hammers, and they start hitting him on the head until they knock him unconscious. Then the waiter comes over and cuts the top of his head off, and they all eat the brains.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the most disgusting thing. I much preferred watching all the people die than the monkey. That was terrible.
But, like, it's crazy when you think about it. This guy has several chat groups that are all watching this. There's other people that will be doing this, and there'll be even worse people doing stuff to other people or other things.
Yeah.
It's just, you just don't know. Like, it's absolutely mental.
Yeah, I don't get it, which is probably a good thing. It's a good thing that I don't.
It is. Yeah, no, you don't want to go searching for any of this stuff.
Oh, hell no. Hell no. Yeah. But yeah, that faces of death. I mean, most of them were, there was videos of executions, like, you know, electric chair and all that sort of stuff. Most of them old, and a few videos of, you know, people getting caught in accidents or attacked by and stuff.
We've got the gist. And it was like, yeah, they grossed like apparently $35 million from that film. Just that one, the original one. Which is crazy.
God damn.
Hey, Luxon's just announced something, and
I don't want to know.
This could actually be okay. This could be actually okay. So he said that he wants to do a major change to address building supply shortages. So what there's three changes. They said basically they want to recognize building product standards from overseas so they can bring in different products. Because at the moment, I think Fletcher's has the whole industry tied up. Because in the building standards, they don't say, hey, just use a plasterboard product. It's like, you must use jib.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. So they're going to...
So just for the people overseas, jib is Gibraltar board, which is a New Zealand brand of plasterboard.
Yeah.
Because when I went overseas and I was working in construction, and I said, oh, we're going to put jib board up there, nobody knew what I was talking about, which was amusing too because I was working in Gibraltar.
Yes.
And it made it funny that it was called Gibraltar board and they'd never heard of it in Gibraltar.
They're going to get the requiring building consent authorities to accept the use of products that comply with specific overseas standards that are equivalent or higher than those in New Zealand. I'm sure everything's probably going to be higher than the standards here. And they're going to allow the approving of building products certified through reputable certification schemes overseas. For example, if they approve the One Australian scheme, which is called Watermark, which is a weird name, but anyway, it could immediately provide Kiwis with access to another 200,000 products.
Oh, that's cool. Sell your shares in Fletcher's, but that's cool.
It'd be interesting to see how it goes. Like, he just says a lot of stuff and hopes it works. But this could be potentially the suppliers here now, because, like, I think Fletcher's owns Placemakers and Carter's or something. I don't know. There's a few. They're all intertwined. Oh,
really? Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah.
But if, like, Mitre 10 or somebody had the gumption and stuff, I guess, to go out and start bringing in the stuff that people want. Like, it's a balancing act of figuring it out. But hopefully they don't stuff it up, because you don't want someone to build something with an Australian product. They said they're going to start with Australia and then hopefully go further out. So they'll bring in, like, hope maybe American products and stuff. But our market's so small, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, for sure. All right. I did think this was amusing. I'm only going to talk about the headline just because it seems so typically French.
Okay.
So Air France pilots are threatening to strike over the new government strike ban.
Nice. They are a nation that likes to strike.
Oh, 100%. But honestly, I'm with the pilots on this one. If the government's going to put in a strike ban, and just because you're a pilot, like, screw that. I'd strike. Show them the power. That's awesome. I like that. It's funny, but very French.
Yeah. They'll do that. Last week you were talking about Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Yep.
I am 75% of the way through the first book.
Right. I'm most of the way through. I'm about the same, I think, through the fifth book.
Yes.
There's six in the series, but I don't know if that's six so far, because I don't think they've finished it on the sixth one. Not the way I'm going at the moment.
No, I don't even know who this is targeted towards. It's hitting a whole bunch of points.
Yeah, yeah.
I think.
So I think there's a name for this. It's called RPG Lit.
Yes. Lit RPG lit Game RPG. Lit Adventure.
Yeah.
He's targeted all those.
So it's literally
things.
Literary role playing gamers. So people that do like the role playing game.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what else this dude's written, actually. It's pretty good. You get right into it. I could definitely see a movie adaptation of this somehow.
Yeah, so some people have said that. If they made a series on that, it would be epic, but it'd be so hard to do well. And yes. I had the same issue with Ready Player One. I was like, I want to see it, because you can see it in your mind. It's so vivid. But at the same time, you go, but if they make it and they screw it up, I'll be devastated. And yes. This would be the same, because it'd be pretty hard. You've got a lot of creatures in it. But
you could see like how he's pulled from all sorts of different things. So yeah. It's sort of like Hunger Game-ish. Part of it reminded me of Labyrinth. And when I think about some of the creatures, I'm thinking about like some of those things.
Yeah, a lot of it, somebody said it was very much like The Running Man.
Well, it says that at the start of the book.
They
explain
right.
it
that's
to him. Because they're like, this is very much like Running Man or something else. Yeah.
It's great. It's great fun. It's just a fun read. But yeah, I got a bit carried away and ended up buying them all. And I'm reading my way through.
I'd like to say that I brought them. Let's just pretend I did.
All good.
You can get them for $4.99 on Kindle. Or you can buy the whole pack. I think there's deals. You can get all six for $36.49.
Oh well, I didn't go with that deal. God damn it.
Were you buying them individually?
Yeah, because I couldn't find a pack on Kindle on Amazon.
Anyway, check it out. It's called Dungeon Crawler Carl by Matt Dinnerman.
Dinnerman.
Yeah.
Definitely got my stamp of approval. So
yeah, if you're into anything like fantasy, role playing, RPG, all that sort of stuff, it references all sorts of stuff all the time.
It's very funny, very funny, very light comedy stuff.
Almost brings us to the end of this amazing podcast episode. What are you up to?
What am I up to? I've got a 3-day workshop coming up. And it starts at 4 a.m. on Friday and Saturday. And then on Sunday, it starts at 3 a.m. because daylight savings. And so...
I'm so glad I'm not working the morning.
Oh, yeah. So eight hours a day for 3 days. So I'm going to be doing that. That'll be interesting. We'll see what happens with that. And then what else am I up to? I just need to do some work, and I haven't been doing a lot of work.
Work pays the bills.
I know. And I need to stack that up so I get paid at the end of the month. So, yeah.
Very good.
What about you? What are you up to?
I am trying to sort out some of this Misty Flix stuff, I think. Yes, I'm just sorting out little bits and pieces of different things, and we will see how we go. So until next time, I'm Sam.
I'm Chris.
See ya.
Bye.
Hope you enjoy the show. Make sure to subscribe, and we'll catch you next week. Don't forget to tell your friend.